Christ, though you know the grace of our Lord, that though he was rich, for our sakes he become poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. He was the Son of God, and the Son of God become the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. To as many as believe on him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Now, when we wind up our final state, we're going to all be sons of God. You say, I don't see how there can be such a great change, how I can go from man to God. I don't see how God can go from God to man. But we know he did do it. We know he did do it in ever since. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so we know he did do it. And then we know another thing. We know that Christ was man. He walked this earth, and he was subject to sorrow. He was subject to weariness, and he's subject to temptation. But there came a time that they carried him to the cross, and he died. And when he died, they put him in a tomb, limp. And the Bible states he died. And the word says God raised him from the what? The dead. You say, but maybe he wasn't dead. Jesus said, John, behold, I am he that liveth, and I was dead. I was dead. You need to be afraid of death, because Christ is the only one that opened up and let us look in and see what death is. He's the only one that let us look through to the other side. All we see is an empty black hole. And when we go in it, that's it. So many people think, when I die, I'm going to go out and I'm going to be put down 6 feet under the earth. That's not true. Our physical body that we operate in is going to be carried out there only. But I will not go with it. I will watch them from a grandstand on high as they perform my ceremony. And as they take the little hearse out to the graveyard, I'm going to have a grandstand seat with a glorified body. I'll have it made up in heaven, and I'll be there, and I won't be concerned about looking down or like that. But what I mean, I will not be here no more than you will be in that casket going out there to be buried. Neither will I be in that casket. I'm going to vacate my old shack that I've lived in for a number of years. That's exactly what happened. Paul said, for me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He said, now as long as I am at home in this earthly body, this is my earthly house. And he said, if this earthly tabernacle of our house be dissolved, if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, if this house of our tabernacle be dissolved, if it goes back to dust, if it decays, we are going to slip out of this into another, and we're going to go to heaven. Now, all this that I'm telling you about is wrapped around Jesus, not Buddha, not Confucius, not one of the apostles. It's wrapped around Christ. Christ. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. But our hope in Christ goes beyond the grave, on through eternities of eternities. Now, a lot of people, you don't fear death if you once know what it's all about. So Paul said, if this earth, the house of our tabernacle, be dissolved, we have a building of God. It's a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus said, I'm going to have another temple for you to move into. I'm going to move out of this, and I'm going to move into another. Now, Jesus, when he came up from the dead after being made in the form of man, he came up from the dead not with a natural body. God changed his natural body that he walked up and down the streets in. They didn't find his natural body in there. because he took that body and he glorified it. Now that's what God is eventually going to do with all of us. He'll let that body, though it decays and goes back to dust, he'll command every atom that compiled your body, he'll command it to come back and go into place. And he will change the natural into a glorified body. And you'll say, well, why does he go to all that trouble doing that? Just so he can say, I told you so. God said he's going to say, death, where's thy sting? Show it to me. If you have it, produce it. Death, where's your sting? Forever and ever you're put out of commission. You don't exist. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? The last enemy that shall be destroyed, the Bible says in Corinthians, is death. It'll be destroyed. Now, then he says, death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? You said, I took the body of Hibbard that he preached in. You let him slip out and go up there and get another glorified body. But this body that he had here, I've caused it to go back to decay, and I've got victory over it. But when we come in a body, he is going to command that body to come up. And our spirit will go into the body that we once lived in. That will be glorified, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They'll come out of the graves. Now, those people that died in the Old Testament when Jesus arose and came out, it says they arose and came out of their graves, and they went up and went shopping around the city. Now, these were dead people. Said, how long have you been dead? Oh, I've been dead several thousand years. You see, I was way back there in between the flood and Adam. And then see someone else. Well, I died back there in David's time. I died back there in some other time. And the Old Testament saints, it said, came up out of their graves, and they were seen about the city. Now, whatever happened to them? They stayed here for a few hours while Jesus met Mary. And what I'm telling you is true. You read that in your Bible. Jesus hung around for a few days. For a few hours. And he talked to Mary. And he said, Mary, go and tell my disciples that I am going to meet them in Galilee. And about that time, she wanted to grab him because she was so excited and thrilled that he was no longer dead. And when she started to grab him, you see, he said, he jumped back and he said, Mary, don't touch me. Don't touch me. You see, for he said, you can't touch me because I have not ascended to my God and your God, my Father and your Father, because I have the blood that I spilt, and I'm going to take it to heaven with me when I go. The Bible said he entered into heaven not with the blood of heifers or bulls or goats, but with his own blood. He entered in and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and there God looks at that blood and it speaks to God better things than the blood of Abel. So what did he do? He carried his blood to heaven. Why did he jump back and say, don't touch me? Why? Because when a priest takes the blood and washes himself and sanctifies himself, then he takes the blood of that lamb, which is typical of Christ. We're dealing with Christ. That lamb that is slain, a sacrifice for sin, a sin offering. And that priest takes that lamb, that blood of that lamb, and a human being touches that priest like that, just touches his robe. He's disqualified to go into the veil, into the presence of God, because he's been touched by human hands. Now he's unclean. He has to stay out and go through ceremonies of washings and ceremonies of cleansing and offering sacrifices for his own self, because he was an earthly priest, until he is qualified now to take the blood and carry it into the Holy of Holy where God is. Else if this man touches him and he goes into the temple, into the veil in the Holy of Holy, and he opens up this veil. Think how heavy it is. It's heavy enough that if six oxen here on big iron chains had a hold of one end of it, and six oxen over here had a hold of it, it says it would take six oxen on one side and six oxen on the other, and an oxen can pull much more than a horse any day. And if they got out and did their very best, six of them pulling, 12 oxen pulling in two different directions, it would take that to tear that veil and rend it. Because God so ordered it, woven in such a way, so thick and so heavy, to keep the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, the ark, where the ark was, it was in the beyond the veil of the temple. And on the inside of this veil was God's presence. And you'd come into the very presence of God. He abode between the cherubims over the ark inside the tabernacle. Now, if you walk in here, nobody can walk in there. No outside man. If any man just walk off the street and walk in there, he's dead that quick. You talk about strychnine, brother. You don't need strychnine. All you need to do is just open up that veil and step in, and you're dead like that. Because God proved to him over and over that, boy, it worked. And he said that whenever a priest goes in, he must go in with a rope around his leg, so if he falls dead, if he's not qualified, and I have to kill him, like that, you don't have to go in, because if you go in, I'll kill you too. You can pull him out. So he had to go in, and if he had gone in after being touched by human hands, then he would have been disqualified, and if he'd have stepped in, God had killed him. Now, this was a type of the way that the blood of the animal was carried into the Holy of Holy by the priest and there bring it in the presence of God to get rid of sin. Now, the Bible said Jesus, as our high priest, when he shed his blood, then he carried his blood not into the earthly tabernacle, but into the heavenly tabernacle, which the one here is made of the type of that, into the presence of God for us, carried not the blood of others. He did not go in with the blood of others, the heifer or goat. But he went in with his own blood and there sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. You see. And now here's God, here's Christ. Whenever we come for help, there's that blood. And it speaks to God continually for us. Well, see, should I forgive him? Just point that blood. Covenant is made. It's a blood covenant. Do you know the covenant, the New Testament, is the New Testament in my blood? It is a blood covenant. Not the Old Testament, but the New Testament. The New Testament, Old Testament given by Moses, New Testament given by Christ. Now, there's many things in the Old Bible for us today, but not the Old Testament. The Old Covenants are put on the cross and Christ taking care of them. So what I'm saying is this, we're talking about death, we're talking about the changeover, which has to do with Christ. Now listen, here's why Christ said, don't touch me. Why? Because he is our high priest. He is now going to go into the Holy of Holy, and before he goes into the Holy of Holy and takes his blood that had to be spilled, because without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We would all go to hell. I'd go to hell. You'd go to hell. Everybody'd go to hell. Had he not spilled his blood. Because without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. That's why that he had to die. He had to give his life. He had to give his blood. And that blood is what redeemed us. We're purchased by the blood of Christ. We're sanctified by the blood of Christ, you see. Now, so he says, don't touch me. Why? I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. So here she steps back and Jesus steps here. And then in just a few minutes, he meets together and he goes up to heaven. Not alone. He carries a great number of people with him. You say, can you mention a few of them? I can mention a few of them. He carried Abraham with him when he went up. And he carried David with him when he went up. He carried Joshua with him when he went up. And anybody that had ever died from where Christ was right then back to Adam, he carried every last one of them. And how many did he leave in paradise below? You see, when people died before Christ right there, when they died, they didn't go to heaven. Because they couldn't. Now, there's only three accounts. There's only these three accounts that we have, and God goes into detail to explain them. When a person died, they went to paradise. Now, paradise was in the heart of the earth. It was a place all big as maybe the state of Texas. That'd be a very small little dot in the heart of the earth. But it was a great big place. Now, there was a great gulf, not a little gulf. You see, we got a Gulf of Mexico down here called a gulf. Now, a gulf is something that separates one body of land from another. Now, the Bible describes it, and Jesus, with his own mouth in Luke 16, describes this, and he said that the rich man died, and he was dead. They put him in a casket, put flowers there, and carried him out, and had a little ceremony. And while they was having the ceremony, he was down there talking to Abraham. He was saying, Abraham, is there anything you can do for me? You got Lazarus over there. And if you could just, I don't want a drink of water or a cup. I just want if he'll take his finger and touch it in water and come over here. You say, how do you know he said that? Because Jesus said he said it. And if he said it wrong, then God said, this is my son, hear him. Anything he tells you the truth, he can't lie. And if he lied there, you couldn't believe one thing he ever said. But what he said is true. Now, he did say there's Lazarus. So what did he do? He had eyeballs. When you die, you still got eyeballs. You say, but he wasn't saved. He was lost. He was lost with eyeballs in hell. That's terrible. And he was in hell in fire. Some folks say, oh, you can't, there's no fire there. Well, just go ahead and believe that. Because, it's not going to put out fire. You doubt it. You'll be converted when you get there. But the rich man was there. Where? Not up in heaven. He was in paradise. In the heart of the earth. That's called paradise. Now, he wasn't in paradise. Rich man wasn't in paradise. There's a great gulf. Over here is hell. Fire. And over here is paradise. Everybody on earth that's saved, they went to paradise. Now, the way they had to go to paradise wasn't believing in Jesus, because there was no Jesus. Now, they didn't believe in New Testament because there was no New Testament. It says the only way they could escape hell was to believe in Moses and the prophets. God had a way of escape for anybody on earth, and that was the law, Moses and the prophets. Now, if you loved your neighbor as yourself, and you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you put God first, and you didn't lie, you didn't steal, you didn't commit adultery, and you didn't covet, and you go right on down through, and you kept the commandments, and you would bring blood sacrifice, sin offerings for your sins, because when you commit a sin, you're not going to go to heaven with it. It's got to be dealt with. Now, how's God going to deal with your sin when Christ hasn't come? You can't get down and pray. Nobody can get down in the kitchen and say, oh, God, I sin, please forgive me. Now, that's funny. Whoever on earth ever heard of anybody that had any kind of a sin get out and open their mouth and pray and ask God to forgive them? And there it was done. It was going to happen. It did happen when Christ came. I can go in the kitchen, get down now, and raise my hand and say, God, forgive me. But they couldn't dare do it back there. Why? Because there was no way God could do that. Why? Because Christ had not opened the way. He had not taken the veil and rent it from top to bottom. It would take 12 oxen to rip it, but God took hold of his hands and he ripped it not from the bottom up. It'd take 12 yoke of oxen ripping it at the bottom, 12 at the top. But God, when Christ said, Father, it's finished, like that. When he said, it's finished, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, said, now come on into the holies of holy. You don't have to have no blood sacrifice. Just come on in and ask me to forgive you. But you see, You had to take the sacrifice of a lamb. And if you could not afford a lamb, a lot of them come in with a goat, a heifer. Now here they bring a heifer. That was a wonderful sacrifice. Ox is a sacrifice, a heifer. Most of them would bring lambs because it was a sin offering. When John saw Christ, he said, "Behold God's Lamb." He takes away the sin of Dallas, oh no, the sin of the world. He's going to deal with every sin from Adam to the last man that ever lives, and the only way you can get rid of your sin now is to get rid of your sin through Christ, because he's God's Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? Brother, it lives, let me tell you. So here he's taking his blood now. He's got his blood. He's going to take it to heaven. And when he takes it to heaven, he's taking all the Old Testament saints that died. When they died, they didn't go to heaven because they couldn't. They had to go to paradise. Now, you know, Jesus on the cross, when he's getting ready to die, the thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The thief on the cross. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, the other thief over there, he was mad at Jesus. And he just railed at him and said, "Hey, if you're so much, come on down and save yourself. Why are you doing it? Save us too." And the other thief over there said, "Shut up, Bill." Or if his name wasn't Bill, or whoever it was. He said, "Shut up." He said, "What do you mean giving an accusation to that fellow like that?" Said, "We're sinners. We rightfully die for what we're dying for. But this man has done nothing amiss." Said, "Oh, how come you talking that way to him?" And then when that thief on the cross eyeballed Jesus and saw how he acted when he said, "I want water," and they gave him vinegar, and when they railed on him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what to do." Well, he said, "I haven't met him. I've only been acquainted with him about 3 hours. I was hung here with him 3 hours ago. It's 12 o'clock. Got 3 more hours to go." But while he's hanging on that cross, the old thief looked at him and sized him up. Said, "His reaction is not a normal reaction. He's a prince from some other world. The only way he could react like that would be a prince from another world." So finally, while he's all saying, "Come down, save yourself, if you're so great." And this old thief said, "Lord," he didn't say, "Buddy." He didn't say, "Rookie." He didn't say, "Hi, guy." He didn't say, "Partner." He didn't say, "Neighbor." He said, "Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." I believe that when you draw your last breath, you're going into a kingdom. And I don't know where that kingdom is. I'm an old sinner and I'm an old thief. And I know one thing, I've been acquainted with you a few hours, and I believe you know a whole lot more about this after death than I do. And all I want you to do is just remember a poor old thief that's dying with the blood coming out my hands and the blood dripping out of my body, and I'm getting weak. Just please remember this old thief." And he said, "Lord, remember me." He called him Lord. And the Lord Jesus looked over at him and said, "I will. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." You're not going to a muddy hole. You're not going to a grave. And you're not going up. You're going down to the heart of the earth where paradise is. And it says, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And the Bible said he died in the flesh, was quickened in the spirit, by which he went and ministered to the spirits in prison. Spirits in prison. Now, if he descended into the lower parts of the earth, what is it also that he also ascended? If he went down into paradise, he came up out of paradise. I'm giving you what the Bible says. Now, it says that when he went down, It was for the purpose of ministering to the spirits in prison. How many was there? Everybody that died from Adam up till the day of Christ. Everybody was there. That died in salvation. Died saved. But there was a great number, a whole lot more over there beyond the gulf. You say, how could he see that far when you have a body not like the human body? You see, in hell they have a body that never will burn up. It can burn. It's still burning right now, and it's been burning 1,900 years since Jesus said that, and it hasn't burned up yet. This body will burn up in just a few minutes. You see what I mean? God gives it a body and never burn up, but they still feel all the feelings of the tortures of hell in a body that will last as long as God's body lasts, only to be in hell. Oh, don't think that your body will ever burn up. You'll say, well, I'll soon pass out. Swoon out. You're going to be conscious forever and ever. And so, it says that he said, I am going to go down into this place, the heart of the earth, and he called it paradise. He said that I'll be with you this day in paradise. And then the Bible said, Jesus said, I've got a little parable for you. They said, good, tell us. He said, all right. You know about Jonah? I said, yeah, we know all about Jonah. What do you know about Jonah? He said, we know that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Good, he said. Now that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Not up there, because when he came up out of the heart of the earth, he said, Mary, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. I haven't gone. I've been to paradise, where I told the thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So when Jesus gave up the ghost and the thief gave up the ghost, the thief came over just as comfortable. He didn't have a pain in his body. He had another body, celestial body, a beautiful celestial body like Lazarus had. And he said, hello, Lord, I can shake hands with you. Thank you for looking over. And all I had to do was just say, Lord, remember me. And Lord, that other thief could have done that. Said, yes, he could. And to think, I made it. I got here just by looking and saying, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, you don't know how I appreciate it. Jesus said, well, thank you, son. I'm glad that you had faith and you looked. And it came from your heart when you said, Lord. It meant that I was Lord of your thinking. I was Lord of your life. I was Lord of your pleasure. I was Lord of your finance. I was Lord of your whole thing. And that's the only place Christ is going to be. He wants to be Lord of your life. And so he went about. And that thief was right there. And he stayed down the 3 days. You say, what did he do the 3 days it was there? He ministered unto him. He talked to him. You say, did he go down to save any? There's already saved. They hadn't been saved, been over there in the fire with the rich man. There's all saved. But he's just down there having a 3-day vacation. You say, did they have any lights down there? Had plenty of lights. We don't know how, what all God had. We know it was paradise. God prepared it. God fixed it. You know, the Bible tells us that God is the one that engineered and designed hell. For the wicked, he designed paradise for all those that would be saved until they could be redeemed by the blood of Christ and go to heaven, because they couldn't do it until the blood was spilt by Christ, because the blood of heifers and goats couldn't save you. It only acted as a substitute, so he had to put them in a certain place, and he had to be the redeemer to come down and redeem them. And when he spilt his blood, he paid the redemptive price, so therefore he could go down and say, now lift up your gates, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. And the door swung open, and Jesus came in. And when he got ready to leave the third day, he said, now, boys, I've looked at my watch, and it's about time that I go up. I said, I'll be dead 3 days and three nights, and the third day I'll come forth. So I'm going to go, and I'll let you go out. Each one of you go out your route. You came in here. And when you go up, you'll come out of your grave, And you can just kind of do a little shopping around the city. Of course, they didn't buy anything. But said, you can just kind of walk around till I get ready. I'll stay there long enough to tell Mary or someone that comes to the grave. I'm going to watch around and tell someone the message that I'm out and that I'll see them later. And then we'll take a trip to glory through the ether waves and beyond the sun and the moon and the stars. And I'll carry you up to heaven. And there I have a glorious place for you up there. And it's paradise there with God. And you'll be with God forever now. And they said, well, that's fine, Lord. You ready to go? Said, let's go now. It went right through. Now, they say that there is thousands of miles of solid nickel. You go down this earth. You go down through the crust of it, outside crust of it. And the encyclopedias and man's knowledge says you go down so far and you come to solid nickel. And from there, clear to the heart of the earth, is solid nickel. So God's got a nice polished wall all the way around that center down there, nickel. But how are you going to get through all that? Brother, with this glorified body, you can go through anything. And with a celestial body, you can go through anything. When that rich man died on earth, drew his last breath, his body stayed there, but his spirit went immediately down through all that and landed right into the lake of fire. You see, the spirit, nothing of substance like this you can put your hand on, has any effect on the spirit. Spirit can move right through that, you see. And if it was 100 miles of solid concrete, you could move through it just that quick. You see, there's nothing can control it. So we find that Jesus came up right through all that substance and he came out. And when he did, the Bible says they that of the Old Testament saints, they arose and came out of their graves and they were seen. People said, hey, you look funny. Well, yeah, I'm just staying around a little while. Who are you? Well, we just came up from the grave. We're going to go back with Jesus. And you say, well, how did they know it? I don't know whether they talked to anybody. The Bible don't say. It just said they went uptown, and they were seen about the city. What were they doing? They were happy. Just kind of having a stopover. Said, what you doing? We're driving to stop here. The train's going to be here 15, 20 minutes. Get off and go around. Well, it's the first time I've been in Millicamp here. Well, how are you folk getting along? We're not staying. We just kind of got a 15-minute drop-off here. And we're just kind of looking around Millicamp while the train is kind of chewing and chewing, you know, out there. And it's getting the water put in it. And we're just kind of having a little recess here. Well, now, that's what they were doing. They said, we're just kind of here in Jerusalem. We've got a little kind of a few minutes stop-off. Jesus is going to take off and go beyond the starry sky in a few minutes. And now, I'm not telling you a lie. This is what God said. This is what Christ said. It said if he ascended on high, he led what? He led captivity captive. You see? And when he did that, he also turned around to these on earth and gave gifts unto men. If he ascended, he also ascended high above the heavens itself. And he ascended and went into the presence of God. Now, when he went in the presence of God, here he is up there in heaven. What does he do? He walks in with a great reception. And there's a great shouting. Angels everywhere come from everywhere. And you talk about heaven putting on a parade. God's son makes good. Country boy makes good. Boy, you know, when the old country boy comes back, he's been off and become a lawyer, and they finally run him for president. He become president. Then he goes back to the peanut farm. You know, country boy goes good. And so here's Christ. He's been to the earth. He's redeemed man. Now he's having a homecoming. He goes back, and who does he have behind him? Millions, 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 millions. Yes, even in David's time, there's no telling how many people saved under David's inspiration. And he wasn't a minister, but he was a great godly king. In every generation, there's great numbers of hundreds that were saved. And he brought this great number of millions in. And as they start pouring into heaven, the angels were shouting and rejoicing. The Father met the Son. Do you imagine that God was on the throne? And when Jesus come in, God was sitting up there with his eyes kind of bugged out. And the glow coming out from him. And he looked over and saw his Son. He said, hi, Son, how are you? You say, how do you reckon he acted? How do you reckon I act? You know what man's made of? Man is made in the image of God. God's got a head and he thinks like I do. He's got a nose like I do. He's got ears like I have. And God feels. God has emotions. God is greatly moved by his emotions. Do you know that? God said that himself. There's not an emotion. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So God loved his son. And love is a reaction. It's a motive. And when his son came in, how many believe they had a wonderful, glorious meeting? Son, you know, I can just imagine. What did he say? Stand up just a minute. You know, I can imagine he said to him, here Jesus stands. Behind him, he's brought them all in. There's there. Secure. His blood has been spilt. He's redeemed Brother Hibbard. 1,900 years down the line, Brother Hibbard's going to come on the scene, an old wretched sinner. Had tried to kill himself a week before. He got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost and turns out to be a child of God, a son of God right down here on this earth. And all the rest of them, you sitting here this morning. And so he looks at him and he's so proud of him. Now he said, son, since I dealt, and it's already behind us, I've already dealt with sin. Those were long, grilling hours with you on the cross, with that blood pouring down. You were thirsty. You were weak. And above all, son, when I had to turn from you and withdraw my presence, and your soul died. Because Isaiah 53 said you poured out your soul unto death. You had to let your soul die so the souls that were dead could come alive. So, son, you stood it like a man. Until I brought my presence back to you, you hung on that cross from 12 o'clock till 3. And then you've gone down and you've been obedient, son. You've given your life. You've spilt your blood. Son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And now the angels have been looking forward to seeing him. And you'll never know how appreciated. When you were thrown in the grip of every temptation man was thrown under, you were tempted in all points, but you stood true, and you was a spotless lamb when I got ready to offer you on the cross. Now, son, you know you got another little job to do before it's all over. After the angels get through rejoicing, and we've got a few little things here we're going to do for you, then I want you to hurry back down there because you left word that you'd meet the disciples in Galilee. And I think that we have scheduled here about 40 days that you're going to stay down there. Because, you see, you told them to go in the upper room, and they're going to stay there 7 days. And then he said you were in the grave 3 days. And now you're going to go back real quickly. And as you go back, you'll stay there for 40 days, and then the 3 days that you were in the grave and the 7 days there in the upper room, that'll be the full 50. And when the day of Pentecost is fully come, that way you'll come on back just before the Pentecost is poured out, 7 days before Pentecost poured out, and then we'll send the Holy Ghost back. But now we're glad to have you here, and we're going to send you back in just a few minutes, and you'll go back and carry on the rest. And so we'll let you be seated there. So here's what happened. When they got through, it took several hours. How do you know? Because he is already back from his father in just a few hours, and he came in on scheduled time about 6 or 8 hours later, and he came into the room, and the door being shut. He just walked right on in through the room. And so when they thought he was a ghost, he said, "Wait, I'm not a ghost. Come here and feel me. But I know what I came through the big slab door, but I've got a glorified body. Feel me. Touch me. See? I am not a ghost." Now, and it said, "I want you to touch me because I've been to the Father. I've carried my blood there. You can touch me now. You won't defile me. I've already carried it in." It got there safe. The devil would like to have defiled it because the human souls of every one that ever lived depend on it. But now that's all done. The blood is now sprinkled on the mercy seat. And here I am. Come on, touch me. Handle me. Let's sit down and eat. And he sat down. And so finally slipped away real quick. And he got out on the country road and saw two of his disciples leaving Jerusalem, going back to their hometown. And there's all sad, man. There's all down the mouth. That is the same day. Same day. He'd already been to heaven and come back. And here it comes along, he just kind of pulls a cloak over their eyes so they can't recognize them, and said, "Hello, fella." And they said, "Hello," said, "are you, what communications are these that you have today as you walk and are sad? Seem very sad. Hey, well, don't you know what's happened? Don't you know all about these things that's happened? Oh, what things are you talking about?" And they said, "What things?" Said, "You mean you don't know what happened? Why, this Jesus of Nazareth, whom we thought was our Christ, that we had hope in him for the resurrection, and now they crucified him 3 days ago, and this is the third day." And said, "We hoped that in him would be the resurrection. And now," said, it's terrible. They crucified him, and we saw him, and they took him down, limp, put him in the grave, and this is the third day. And beside all that, we've heard idle tales," said, "oh my, we've been tormented." "Oh, tell me about it." "Well," they said, "what happened?" Said, "there's a woman went to the tomb, and she said that he had already gone. And he was out of the tomb, and said, while she is there, Jesus appeared to her and said, 'Well, I'm not dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Go and tell my disciples, I'll meet them later.'" Said, can you imagine that? A woman telling us things like that. And not only that, but Peter and the rest of them, they run down there and look in, and the stone is away. And there's nobody in there. And we're so confused. And he said, "Fools, oh fools and slow of heart to believe. All the prophets have said." They looked at him and said, "Well, who are you, a country boy, coming around here, walking along and telling us that we're a fool?" He said, "Ought not Christ to have died? Should not he have gone into death and come out the third day? Everything that they said was supposed to have happened." And as they walked along, they said, "Well, wait a minute, mister. You made us feel so good. And our hearts have kind of been warmed up through your talking. And we're at home, and it's evening, and it's cold. And after all, it's a long way down the road, and you're a stranger. And we'd like for you to come in and have a little meal with us, if you don't mind." "Oh," he said, "all right." You know, he's still kind of holding it where they couldn't recognize him. You read this in the book of Luke, it tells you exactly what I'm telling you. And so they constrained him, and he came in, and he came on in. And they said, "Here's a stranger we met on the road." And he said, "Hi, how are you getting along?" And so he sat down, and they soon had the table all spread and had the food on it. And they got him up there, and so he took his position. And now these were two of his disciples, see. And as he sat there at the table, he opened their eyes. He reached down and grabbed the loaf of bread. He looked around at them and smiled and broke the bread. And when they did, they said, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And they said, "Lord, it's you." And he said, "Yes, it's me. Why did you doubt?" And they said, "Lord, I don't know, but it's wonderful." And about that time, he vanished out of their sight. He was gone. Did they finish eating? No. They jumped up. They jumped up and ran back from where they came from. Now they went away from Jerusalem sad and discouraged. The house of God, the house of prayer, the house of worship, the house of hope behind them. They leave it behind them. They're going away from the hope. That's the only hope they had of finding Christ, because he said, "I'll see you in Galilee." Now they're going back to their home, sad, discouraged, depressed. But when they met Jesus, brother, they didn't walk back. They ran back to Jerusalem. When they went in, they said, "We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord." About that time, Thomas had been out, you know. He'd been out to his uncle's, grandma's somewhere. And the other disciples coming, "Oh, there's a hum and a bustle." Peter was saying, "Oh, we've seen the Lord," or "Mary's seen the Lord, and we went and his grave's empty," and this, that, and the other. And so Thomas was sitting there and said, "Wouldn't believe it. No, don't believe it. No, don't believe it." And so he said, "Oh, but surely the Lord said he'd meet with us," and said, "Mary said she saw him and it was the Lord." "Oh, no, wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it unless I could see the nail scar in his hand And unless I could see the hole in his side, I was there, and I saw him rip that old spear in his side. And if I could see the hole in his side and see his hand, I'd believe, but it'd take that to convince me. And about that time, right through the door, here come Jesus again. He looked around, and there stood the Lord in all of his glory. And he walked right on over to nobody but old Thomas. And he said, "Thomas?"
Yeah. Ooh, yes, sir.
"Be not doubting, but be believing. Take your finger, put it in the hole in my hand, and Thomas, thrust your hand here in this hole in my side, and know that I am glorified now, and I have risen from the grave." Thomas closed his eyes and raised his hand. He says, "My Lord and my God." He said, "Thomas?"
He said, "Yes, sir."
He said, "Do you believe now?"
"Oh, yes, sir, I believe."
He said, "All right, you believe because you've seen. Your eyeballed me up. You saw me. Blessed are they that believe that have not seen." You don't have to see Christ. You don't have to feel him. But he said, "My blessings will come to the one that believes me."